Welcome to the 29th episode of the Broken Pictures podcast / YouTube show, where we discuss the top three things in pop culture that you may have missed this week. And there could potentially be spoilers for your favorite TV shows, movies, comics, and or video games. You have been warned. And this is
the FOMO show.
Hey nerds, this is Dylan.
And I'm Lydia. And once again, we'd like to say thanks for joining us by YouTube or podcast. Hello to all of our new watchers or listeners in the States and internationally. A special thank you to those of you who are returning to listen or watch us wacky weirdos keep going. If you want to keep the conversation going or support the show, you can, of course, comment below. But you can also find that information in the episode notes or the website at www.broken.pictures.com. Also, leave us voice messages that we can play on the show, or questions that you want to ask. Go to www.anchor.fm/thefomoshow to leave those. YouTube viewers, please like and subscribe and hit the little bell icon.
Ding.
If you want to get notifications for when we put out new videos. Podcast listeners, please leave us 5 stars in your podcast app.
Yes, yes, yes. Like it up.
Well, it's technically 10.
Yeah. Sorry. Not 2 fives. I was trying to like alternate like. Bah, 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 bah. Mm. Yeah.
So close. So,
yes. Please, please, please. Like. It helps us fight the YouTube algorithm. All right. So if you didn't catch the very beginning, spoiler alert, we will be getting spoilery, but we won't spoil your favorite fandoms on purpose. However, we will talk about newsworthy items. So, like I said, you have been warned. Special notes that we passed. I kind of missed. Quinn is obviously out today, missing a big black guy on the show. So, yeah, he's just got some family stuff to take care of. They've got a baby on the way, so hit him up on social media, congratulate him, tell him you missed him. And yeah. So he'll be here next week, hopefully, depending on how things go with all that. So let's move on. So what are you guys into this week? What are you watching, playing, listening to, reading, etc., etc., etc.? If you can see her shirt, she's trying to show off there.
The Office. Well, first it was about my shirt, and then it started being about the squeakiness of the chair. Oh.
If you could hear that on a mic, hopefully.
Yeah, watching The Office again, because they're going to take it off Netflix, so I'm catching up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Yeah, then you have to get HBO Max.
I'll just buy it on DVD.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, let's see. This, of course, I'm still playing The Witcher. I'll be playing The Witcher for the rest of my life because it's so freaking big of a game. And, of course, for pizza movie night this week, we watched The Missing Link, which was funny. I say don't miss it.
Yeah.
It was cute.
I would say don't miss it. A lot of, like, actual laughs that were kind of unexpected. Mm-hmm. There were some... obviously, in pretty much every kid's movie, there are a few more adult-oriented mm-hmm. Jokes that should go over your kids' heads, but there were some that weren't really high enough to go over our kids' heads.
Some of the things that it's funny, like we're watching and they'll make a reference to something, and I can always tell because Lydia just goes like, just turns and looks at me like, no.
Like, that really shouldn't have been in there.
But
I mean, when I was a kid, I was really dense, so I didn't get any of those jokes.
Yeah.
But
and just from the kids, like, their faces, I think.
Josiah will just laugh.
Oh,
he'll
yeah.
just actually
He's
go
16,
off and be like, did you hear that?
Yeah.
And then explain it, and we're like, no, stop.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's inappropriate.
Yeah, because he's a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. And then Riley has to get on in it. She's 11. She thinks she knows that why it's funny, but she obviously doesn't.
She takes 10 years to try to figure it out, half explain it to you at the same time.
Yeah. But it was pretty funny. I would definitely say mm-hmm. don't miss. I liked it.
For
was
sure.
very kind of similar to Smallfoot.
Yeah.
Kind of similar
yeah.
type. But it was from the guy or the people who created Kubo and Three Strings.
Two Strings. Yeah. Laika, Box Trolls, all those movies.
Yeah.
Great movies. I love those. Stop animation, not actually CG.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
the claymation craft.
Yeah. Super cool. Let's see. Of course, we watched The Boys. We're still catching up on The Boys season one.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Don't miss With Conditions.
Yeah.
it's pretty out there.
You have to be in like a really sound place in your own head.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's
not something you want to watch when you're feeling like spatial and you're like, oh, I don't, this world is such a weird and terrible place. You don't want to watch that because it just is like, yep, you're right, but times 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it explores the darker side of things. It's produced by Seth Rogen, so if you haven't seen Preacher, then... But if you have, it's the same tone, only now it's on streaming, so they can get away with a lot more.
Yep.
Yeah, so... The number one... Oh, hold on. The number one movie of the week is Good Boys. Also produced by Seth Rogen.
Did not know that.
Yep. It's basically Superbad with elementary school kids.
I believe it.
Yeah. I've got mixed feelings about it because it's like, you know, Jacob Tremblay, the little kid from Wonder, The Room. He's like, there's these three boys and they're like the premise is they're trying to go to a party and be cool. And of course they're like sixth graders. So they don't really know about sex, but they're kind of getting into girls and stuff like that. So they like say all kinds of crazy stuff that is obviously not true. And just basically what they've heard from other kids. And it's hilarious in that way. But just the, like it is rated R for sure. Which is a big plus for original content. And it's, you know, it's like, the raunchy comedy is back type thing, but I have mixed feelings because it's back with sixth graders.
Yeah.
That's my only thing is like, oh, so we're done doing the high school kids thing. Now that's not crazy enough. So now we've got to do sixth graders.
Well, I mean, maybe it's trying to address the fact that sixth graders think they're teenagers these days. Mm. But he was saying, what did you say his name was? He played Augie in Wonder. So he's the main character in Wonder. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that was a prosthetic that the kid was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't know that.
Yeah, super talented kid. But yeah, it looks really funny. I'm gonna watch it anyway, just because I like that kind of comedy. And but I don't know. I just have, as a dad, I have mixed feelings about.
As a dad of a sixth grader.
Yeah, who's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I get the premise. It's funny, but
it was trotting like, along the line.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, like Goonies was like. What it was like to be a kid, like no lie, like running around with your friends, cussing, like talking about sexual stuff, like all kinds of stuff. Even when I was that young. But I don't know if it's just because I'm an adult now. I feel like it's not that way. Like it got away from that and it got safer, I guess. I don't know, but I'm probably just out of touch as a dad.
I think you're out of touch.
Yeah. I'm just feeling, I turned 40 this year, so I'm feeling like, anyways, so yeah, it looks good. Gonna see it anyway, but, let's see. Oh yeah. It's got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 78, audience score of 88. So it's doing pretty good.
And this was its first week.
Yes. Yep. And it did really well. It's been a little bit since there's been like the R-rated comedy in the number one spot.
And that's not really something that a lot of people take the risk of going to see in the theaters.
Right, yeah. 'Cause
it's something that's like kind of unusual. So maybe a lot of teenagers are watching it. Like it's the first week of school. Maybe parents are like, hey, kids, go to the movies.
Well, they can't get in without a parent R-rated.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. probably a lot of college kids too coming back.
Do college kids watch movies these days?
Oh yeah.
You say oh yeah, but you're obviously out of touch with sixth graders. So.
Right. Yeah. Well. Also, this is Universal's. I want to say like sixth number one movie this week or this week, this year. And so that puts them on par or right under Disney, which is a big deal because everybody's like, oh, nobody else can play in the playground because Disney's got all the good toys. Well, obviously Universal is showing up in the box office. So that's good. I mean, they're not clearing $1 billion with, you know, most of their movies, but still they're batting pretty well. So, yay for original content. All right, the top three this week in pop culture. Are you ready?
Bow.
Number one, right on the heels of last week, us talking about what can you expect at D23 for Star Wars? Maybe these things. And then as soon as we get done filming and I'm having to edit for days, this news comes out. So it looked like we were just not in the know or whatever, but it actually came out after we recorded. And once we go live, that won't be an issue. Maybe we'll see. But anyway, news is always coming out. That's the thing. There's always something to talk about. So Obi-Wan Kenobi, I got him out of order in here.
Yeah, oops. I saw that. It's okay.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi is apparently getting its own Disney Plus series. Let's get into what that is, what it can mean. Because, so like the rumors are saying, or not rumors, but these different...
circulation.
The circulation, the talk around these articles and what's going on is that... So Ewan McGregor isn't usually a TV star, right?
Right.
He does mainly movies. He has done TV in the past. Notably, recently, the Fargo series where he starred and he played two characters and he won an Emmy for that. So, I mean, he's not afraid. I was about to say scared.
Like, he ain't a scared.
I've got a gnat flying in my face. I'm sorry. He's not scared of TV, obviously, because he's entered it on his own terms and he's done well. So this is good because you can explore the character more, and usually actors are more interested in character building and stuff like that rather than, well, it depends on the actor, but most good actors, are interested in their character's character arc and the story of their character. And where that character is going and all that kind of stuff. Especially Ewan McGregor, who plays characters.
Yeah.
He's like a character actor. So Obi-Wan not being a movie, like it was originally slated to come out after Solo, like they were working on it and there was going to be a Boba Fett movie and all these spinoffs, right?
Yeah.
But then after, this gnat is really buzzing my face right now. My eyelashes, it's weird. So after Solo didn't do so hot, and The Last Jedi didn't do so hot, Lucasfilm was really struggling.
And they pulled Boba Fett.
Yeah, so they pulled all of them. They immediately stopped all moving forward except for Episode 9 because they got to finish the saga.
So why would they start an Obi-Wan?
Well, that's the thing is because, and the speculation is, well, Disney is doubling down on Disney Plus. Like they are all in,
right? Yeah.
On Disney Plus. I mean, they're not just doing this on the side. And if it doesn't work out, they'll keep going. Like they are moving big time. Like this is a branch of Disney.
Yeah.
They're taking it very seriously and making big moves. I mean, of course, you know what's going on with Marvel. Not only is it just like TV shows, like it's not like where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like, okay, we're going to let this go be on ABC. And it's not really tied to, like, it is directly tied into the main over MCU storyline. And it's got all the big stars in it.
Yeah.
Playing themselves. And so they're going in hard.
Right.
And the first live action series for Star Wars is going to be on Disney Plus, The Mandalorian. There's also a, I keep wanting to say Prince Caspian, but it's Caspian. It's, or I'm sorry. From Rogue One, the main character, Diego Luna's character on Rogue One, is getting his own spinoff series, just like everything, obviously everything that happened before Rogue One. So that'll be interesting. But now Kenobi is it will be on Disney Plus, and they're going all in on The Mandalorian. Jon Favreau, Taika Waititi, like some big name directors. George Lucas came in. Reportedly, George Lucas is also helping. Like, they've brought him back into the fold to help.
So why didn't they do that with what they were going to do with Boba Fett and stuff like that? Like, why did they just toss him?
Well, they might still. It seems like they were originally going to do Boba Fett, but it looked like the fans weren't happy with the direction Lucasfilm was going with the characters, and so they basically Disney stepped in and was like, hey, we're not doing this because you guys
not going to lose money again.
Exactly. So it looks like they basically took those ideas and spun them into something else. Like Boba Fett movie was kind of spun into The Mandalorian, which, I mean, that's why The Mandalorian looks like Boba Fett. I mean, they're both Mandalorians,
right?
Which is, you know,
it's a race,
right? Yeah. And a tribe of bounty hunters,
right,
and mercenaries and stuff. also a planet, Mandalore,
right?
So so it looks like they're spinning, of course Rogue One, they're spinning off the success of that with this Cassian series. I keep trying to say Caspian, but Cassian series.
I definitely looked it up a second ago, but forgot already.
It's kind of forgettable, to be honest. Like, every time I talk about it, I always forget that this thing is a series, even though it's probably still going to be interesting. But as of right now, I don't see the interest really peaking on it.
Yeah.
I don't see people going crazy.
Plus, it's almost like each movie seems like they're going to be a one-off type thing. It's like, we're not getting a Rogue One, though. We're getting an Obi-Wan.
Right. So it looks like it's going to be like 6 to 8 episodes or something like that, because they're going to be movie quality, big time, big budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you've got people like Ewan McGregor. I never can say his name right, because it's
Ewan.
Spelled it looks like E-W-A-N.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call him E. McGregor. But then everybody's going to think I'm saying Ian, which is a different person.
Mr. McGregor.
Yeah, Mr. McGregor. You got big names in there like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's like Game of Thrones type money that you're pouring into stuff.
Right, yeah. And Disney is going all in. And reportedly, when they were still working on Kenobi as a movie, George Lucas was heavily involved with scouting and getting all that involved, getting all that ready, because that was his baby. That was his main, one of his, you know, original characters. So it would make sense to bring him on for that. So hopefully he's just as involved for this series going forward. Because it seemed like, you know, when Lucasfilm got bought by Disney, that they kind of pushed Lucas to the side, which kind of pissed fans off, because you don't do Marvel without Stan Lee.
Right.
You don't do Lucasfilm. You don't do Star Wars without George Lucas.
Right.
So it seems like Disney has stepped in and they're course correcting. Like, okay, you guys are making some major missteps. Let's bring another person in to help Kathleen Kennedy.
Let's bring it back around.
Right, yeah. So, because, I mean, it's a major property, and kids are not playing with the toys. Marvel's,
well, not only that, is if it doesn't do well, Disney Plus isn't going to do well. Like, these are some big things that they have to really hype up. It can't.
High risk.
Exactly. I understand why they kind of were like, oh, well, if people aren't interested in Boba Fett, toss that, get something better, because if Disney Plus doesn't take off immediately, it's not gonna. Like, right. It's not, you're, this, it's no longer one, in the time where that's gonna work.
And Disney Plus is gonna be launching, I wanna say this year, Probably about the same time Apple TV Plus does in the fall.
They're literally going to all happen
November,
at the same time.
November, actually, is when Disney Plus is dropping. But some of these shows won't be available at launch.
Mm.
Obviously, Kenobi, the series, won't be because right
they
now...
They haven't even started filming.
Right, exactly. Haven't even announced it.
Mm-hmm.
But The Mandalorian has already finished season one and is starting working on season two. So
right.
I'm not 100% sure if it'll be available at launch, but soon after.
But why wouldn't you do it at launch? You know?
Yeah. Well, because it's kind of like the way they're doing it is like a soft launch. And they're going to have a lot of their like original old school Disney content available immediately. But they're waiting until some of the contracts that they've got out, like with Netflix and some of these other ones, come back home, like wear out, so that they can drop everything back onto Disney Plus and really then bolster everything moving forward. So, yeah.
I'm not going to get into why I don't think that's going to work. But so what is Obi-Wan going to cover? Like, what is the series? Like, what timeline are we looking at?
Okay. So originally when news came out that Disney was, or Lucasfilm, or Disney, whatever, was interested in doing a Obi-Wan series or movie or whatever content, everybody was kind of like, what are you going to do? Is it just basically babysitting Luke for 19 years
right.
on Tatooine? But through the comics, through other content like their cartoons like Star Wars Rebels, Star Wars Clone Wars, they have kind of fleshed out what Obi-Wan has been up to all this time. And Ewan McGregor is getting of age where, you know, he's more, of course he's not old school Ben right now, but they could age him up if necessary, if they need to do flash forwards or whatever. But he could potentially play Obi-Wan for the rest of his life just because it's built in. And he looks so much like the original, that I cannot think of his name right now.
The original Obi-Wan?
Yeah, sir. Sorry, guys. I'm major nerd foul right now. But some of the things that he's been up to, let's see. It could have some serious implications and tie-ins for the rest of the current Star Wars timeline, because you might even get into episode 9 if it turns out that Rey is a Kenobi, and she could be not his daughter, but like his granddaughter, because in the Force Awakens, Ewan McGregor came back to film some voiceover when she grabbed the lightsaber and had that little flash and everything.
Alec Guinness.
Yes, Sir Alec Guinness, who actually thought Star Wars was dumb and beneath him, kind of. And they kind of brought him in to give some heft to Star Wars. Because he was like a real like Shakespearean actor, you know.
Yeah, who's the famous British actor.
Yeah. He thought it was kind of silly, but he played along. And turned out to be pretty good.
Incredibly grateful that you did.
Yeah. And... Go find some interviews of Mark Hamill talking about the first time he met Alec Guinness. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Because he was just a kid. There's quite a few things that have been going on and can have some major effects on the current timeline as far as like just fleshing out what happened, because everybody's like, oh, well, he would never leave Tatooine because he's supposed to be watching and protecting over Luke. Because as we left him at the end of episode 3, because there's a huge gap between episode 3 and episode 4, where, you know, episode 4, the original series where Luke is a teen, you know, coming into his adult years. And, oh, Uncle Owen, you let me go down there, you know.
What'd you call him?
Uncle Owen. His uncle that he's staying with.
I remember.
But the thing is, like, okay, so at the end of episode 3, of course, Padme has the twins. And a senator takes the girl. Obi-Wan takes the boy and goes and hides him on Tatooine.
Right.
And he goes to Tatooine because it's right under Vader's nose, right under Anakin's nose. That's where Anakin is from. And he knows Anakin well enough to know that Anakin stays away from that place. Like right. he doesn't like sand. He doesn't like anything about that place. It's well, got personal
of
scars.
Of course you don't like sand. You're in a giant metal suit.
Yeah. Plus that's where his mother was killed. All his bad right. memories, all his demons live there. So he's not going there. So that's why he goes there. Right. And, gives the baby to his aunt and uncle, and is raised like their own son. But over the time, it gets complicated because as far as like the Star Wars lore, his original intent was to let his aunt and uncle raise him, and then when he gets a certain age, to train him as a Jedi, to tell him everything's going on, train him as a Jedi, because the Jedi split with Order 66, where all the clones and where the Emperor took over. Excuse me. And all the soldiers and the stormtroopers were ordered to kill the Jedi, Order 66. So most of the Jedi were wiped out. The Jedi right. Council's no more.
So they need
everybody went into hiding, right?
Right.
And it looked like if you watch the movies, it almost looks like everybody was dead except for Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Right.
But if you watch Clone Wars and Rebels, there's still several scattered throughout the galaxy. But they're just
hidden well.
Exactly. They're hidden and they got away barely, or some like Ahsoka died and was resurrected on the show. She's one of the main characters. She was actually a trainee or Padawan of Anakin.
I don't remember. Keep going.
Yeah. Not in the movies, but in Clone Wars. Yeah, so things got complicated because he was originally trying to bring the Jedi back and you know, build things up in the shadows and then come back, overthrow the Empire, right? That was like their OG plan. But over time, as Vader and the Emperor, just the darkness spread, it seems like when we pick up with Obi-Wan in episode 4, it seems like he's so disconnected from that world. It's almost like it was like a vague memory, like he's kind of given up on being a Jedi. And he talks about Vader like Anakin, like Vader killed him, like he's dead. It was just something that he's moved on from. And even Luke's aunt and uncle tell him that old Ben Kenobi is a crazy man that lives out in the woods. Like they are not for Luke finding out and going back and reconnecting with Obi-Wan and all this stuff. So, I mean, at this point, he's not even going by his Jedi name, Obi-Wan. He's going by Ben Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, because he's in hiding or whatever, or just because he's doesn't consider himself a Jedi anymore. So there's some bitterness. There's a lot going on and a lot of complication over the years. So this can kind of flesh that out and what has happened over the time. Because even in the comics and in Star Wars, we see that Obi-Wan had a love interest during this time. She was actually the Duchess Satine. If I'm saying I haven't. To be honest with you, I'm going to be. I haven't seen Rebels or Clone Wars. I started to watch Clone Wars when it first came out. I saw the movie. Not the movie, but the cartoon movie, because that launched the show.
But you did see the movie.
Well, yeah, I did see, you know, all the real, the prequel Clone Wars episode 2. But there's a cartoon Clone Wars and it fleshes out everything that happened basically between episode 2 and 3 before, the turn, so Darth Vader and everything. So, but Rebels takes place after episode 3. It kind of fleshed out. So, this Duchess Satine.
So he's saying that since he hasn't watched cries, it, he don't know how to pronounce this stuff.
Yeah. Cries. I really wish Quinn was here because he's up on all this stuff and, he could really flesh it out. So if, I mean, shoot Quinn up on Twitter or Instagram or
hit
whatever.
Hit him up.
Hit him up. Excuse me.
Shoot him up.
Yeah, don't shoot him up. Sorry. Hit him up on there and ask him these questions and he could flesh it out for you. But so anyway, he fell in love with this duchess who was the ruler of Mandalore. And she was actually trying to move Mandalore away from, you know, the violent past and all this kind of stuff and make it more peaceful. And she was having some success at that. But there was a, of course, a backlash, and there was a group that was that rose up against her. And Darth Maul, who we saw what looked like died in episode one after he killed Qui-Gon Jinn, who was Obi-Wan's master, right? And Obi-Wan went in, they fought, and he supposedly killed him, cut him in half, fell down the hole, right?
Uh-huh.
In Rebels, we see that Darth Maul wasn't dead. He fell down the hole, he lived like in a dump or something, and he ended up like crafting these mechanical spider legs. So he is, yeah.
So he's a top half.
Yeah. And he's still a president. And a lot of fans are okay with this because Darth Maul was
still a what?
He's still a player. And a lot of fans are okay with this because Darth Maul was one of the most badass characters from one of the most memorable characters from the prequels. And so even though he was dead and they brought him back in a weird way, everybody was okay with this. And he even became like this crime lord, like built himself back up. He eventually found out that Obi-Wan was alive.
With this girl.
Right. And so he kind of backed the resistance against her rule of Mandalore and helped them overthrow her, imprisoned her. And then Obi-Wan and her sister got her out of jail, out of prison for a very limited time because Darth Maul got her back and killed or and captured her and Obi-Wan and killed her in front of Obi-Wan.
Of course.
Of course. So, so then of course Obi-Wan killed him legit, like for real.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's possible that they could go into this in the Obi-Wan, series, but it's already been covered.
Yeah. So. And why would people who like have been invested in Clone Wars and stuff like that watch it?
Well, because it's live action, I guess. And it seems like Disney Lucasfilm is interested in bringing Darth Maul back into live action because if you saw Solo, at the end of Solo, there was that Easter egg that he was the big bad behind all the Crescents or whatever, the Red Crescent. I can't remember the crime group.
I really don't remember.
Yeah. So originally Solo was intended to be a trilogy. And they were going to go into more of it and show, bring Darth Maul back as a big bad and that kind of thing. But, and this was before he became a Sith and everything. I think he was just a crime lord.
Just Darth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maul, I guess. I don't know. so, I mean, they could flesh some of that out, because they have shown intent on an interest in Darth Maul in some of the, in Solo, in live action. But also, so during this time, before Obi-Wan, there really weren't any Force ghosts. Like that's a thing in the original Star Wars series. We see that it's pretty common and we just assume it's a thing the Jedis can do.
But not really.
Really? Yeah. So Qui-Gon, so Palpatine, Senator, is talking to Anakin and he's talking about how Darth Plagueis could beat death and all this kind of stuff and was really one of the reasons because he knew that Anakin was afraid of death and his mom's death and Padme's death and he had a lot of fear in him, so he played towards that and was telling him about Darth Plagueis the Wise who could defeat death and, you know, I have real power and I have access, I know how, and da da da, and drew him in with that tease, right? Well, Siths don't really do Force ghosts. Like they...
Because they're bad.
Right. Like there's like a version of it that Quinn's talked about before where they're this weird thing. But apparently Qui-Gon Jinn, who was Liam Neeson.
Okay.
He unlocked how to do this, but he was never, he couldn't, he apparently wasn't in like bodily form. He was like a voice. He was like, yeah, but he used the force to become a voice. And so apparently taught Obi-Wan in the desert during this time how to do it. And he worked out how to fully come back as a force ghost. And Yoda did too when he was on Dagobah and all this stuff. That's why Obi, you know, all of them eventually come back. And it becomes more of a thing because Obi-Wan has figured this out.
Or so, not necessarily Obi-Wan, but Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn started to figure it out and Obi-Wan built upon it and was able to come back as a full-bodied Force ghost, right?
Okay, that's the theory.
Yeah. So they could get into this and his trying to figure this out and study.
That'd be way more interesting than the other thing.
Yeah. So also, some people are speculating that we could see more of his detective skills like we saw in the prequels where he's going and like where he goes to the other planet and figures out the clones, where the clones are coming from and when they're tracking down the bounty hunter and he goes into the bar with him and he's like, want a cancer stick? I don't want to sell you a cancer stick. All that kind of stuff. So we could see more of that. Mm-hmm. Where he leaves the planet to go figure out some big implication to the regular thing. Or if even he had a child with this Mandalorian Duchess. So there's a lot they could get into.
So like that's he was why lured you're saying away possibly. That if he had a child with this Mandalorian princess, that could be Rey's parents.
Right. Yeah.
Or parent, obviously not. He didn't have twins and then they both had Rey because she looked a little bit more messed up than that.
Right. So, I mean, that could be why she is so strong on the Force because she's a Kenobi and got these blood ties and all that kind of stuff.
And, if I could roll my eyes out of my head.
Well, also because Kenobi is also very, very active in the Force even beyond his death, right? So he could be helping her unwittingly where she doesn't know. And just hasn't revealed himself necessarily. It's kind of like what letting her discover type thing. Does that make sense? Like he's like behind the scenes training her and that's why she's so good at everything and all this kind of stuff. So that could kind of retcon what
was Rey living? What planet was she on?
Jakku.
How far away is that from Tatooine?
Not sure.
Okay. Enough to be like space talking.
Well, I mean, they can space travel, yeah, super easy. So, yeah, it could be.
Don't get me into how they don't have roads, but they always know where they're going.
Yeah, they got space maps, star maps,
and I got space balls too. So,
right. So yeah, there's a lot of things and interesting possibilities that they could get into with this.
Yeah.
And I'll watch it, of course, just because I want to see Ewan McGregor play Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
Yeah, I think it'll be good and I'll obviously watch it because of you, but I don't know if it's something I would normally watch on my own. There's just so many names and it's much confusion, much wow. Yeah.
And you weren't really into Star Wars before we got together, were you?
I had never actually seen Star Wars, but in my defense, I blame it on my parents. So Dad, if you're listening, I'm not a nerd because of you. There's a bug.
Yeah, this fly keeps buzzing around.
Shoot fly.
Okay, so number two is something I'm super excited about. I mean, probably more excited than the Kenobi series. Because when I was a kid, He-Man was my thing. Like, I had all the toys, everything. There's a 1985 Christmas video where I'm opening Castle Grayskull and all this stuff. Like I had it all, right? Until they started getting into the Horde and She-Ra and all this stuff. And it just got where you couldn't keep up and I lost interest. but Kevin Smith, of all people, has signed on with Mattel and Netflix to bring He-Man and the Masters of the Universe back. as an anime, basically. And it's not, what gets me excited about it so much is that Kevin Smith he calls himself a purist. So he's not trying to reimagine He-Man. He's like, he formatted the entire discussion with saying that saying that he was not trying to take your childhood thing and then reform it and give it back to you as something you don't want. So he's doing this as it is, and we're actually following up Star Wars, a Star Wars property with this, because the Star Wars was the reason He-Man was created. So basically, Lucasfilm came to Mattel, who is the maker of Barbie, big toy maker, making dolls and action figures and stuff. And they didn't really have like a strong action figure line.
Right.
So Lucasfilm was like, hey, do you want to make our Star Wars toys? And they were like, no, not really. And then so they went to somebody else, and I think Kenner. And Kenner made the Star Wars toys and made a killing. Like, I mean, insane. Like, most of Star Wars' money, most of George Lucas's money came from toy sales.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to let you know, like, I mean, you know how big the movies are. The toys are even bigger. Collectors, all this stuff.
All that merch.
Still a thing. behind her. So Mattel realized its mistake and tried to course correct. Yeah. And so not only course correct, but like, how can we do it better? And so they started working with these ideas and like Conan the Barbarian looking thing and like trying to basically pull in everything that was popular at the time. So they ended up
bowl haircuts.
Yeah. Woo. So, well, sorry, Ghost. So they ended up with this barbarian / D&D / sci-fi mixed with Mr. Rogers type thing. And, because it was for kids and right. They wanted, you know, a socially conscious hero.
Yeah.
So the parents were buying. And, that's, if you look at the Star Wars toys versus He-Man toys, like Star Wars toys are like this big. He-Man toys are like this big. Because they literally wanted to overshadow the Star Wars toys. So He-Man is also, like, one of the reasons it blew up was because it's such a big thing and little hands can hold on to it better. And they were tougher toys, right? Yeah. Except for the legs, you get like these weird rubber bands. But yeah, that was the thing. Anybody who knows He-Man toys knows what I'm talking about. There was like a rubber band between the legs. It was weird. If it broke,
I know what you're talking about. Like if the legs come off because right. They're connected by a rubber band on the inside of him.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I thought you were talking about his legs being rubber bands. So I was like, I was like, excuse me? He-Man's legs are bigger than his body.
So the news for the week on this is that Kevin Smith is bringing it back as a Netflix series. And it's going to be an anime. It's the same animation house, powerhouse animation that did Netflix's Castlevania.
So I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. So is it anime in the sense of the word of anime, or yes. Is it an animation? Like, is anime it like a style. Japanese anime?
Yeah, anime style. Heard. That's the modern twist that they're bringing to it, is that Heard. It's an anime. But the heart and soul, the characters, the storyline, everything will be the same. So much so that it is a literal sequel to the cartoon from 35 years ago.
Right.
Like, like it's not a reimagining. It's not a reboot. He said it's not a gritty remake. It's not. That's he funny. Said you don't have to be dark to be modern. So.
And He-Man is not dark.
No.
Like, He-Man is the essence of good.
Yeah, it is light. I mean, Skeletor is dark. But even,
I mean, he's still not like dark and edgy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
He's probably got sharp edges, but.
Yeah, I'm sure. All the bones in his face. Go find He-Man and Skeletor doing the Dirty Dancing dance.
Oh my gosh.
On
YouTube.
Yeah. That was hilarious. Funny. Because they're like accurate.
Yeah.
Looking. I don't know where the actors came from or how they did it, but they. Yeah,
it's so funny.
It's amazing. So, so apparently Mattel, who owns Masters of the Universe, has been working on a movie, a He-Man movie, bringing He-Man back as a movie in some form or another for decades. I've always heard about this. Like,
right, yeah.
And but recently they've been working with Sony to make this happen. And they cast this guy.
Why Sony? Is there like some form of agreement or like were they like, hey, Sony sounds like a good...
I don't know. I honestly okay. don't know. Maybe Sony was the one that they knew people from or who gotcha. Picked it up. But yeah, that was my thing. Was like, why Sony? Because Sony historically
find some way to ruin everything they touch.
Yeah. And so much so that their deal with Marvel for Spider-Man is now the most money they've ever made for a movie. Like Spider-Man is Sony's highest grossing movie and it's a deal with somebody else.
Oh my gosh.
So, there's always been like, it's been, so He-Man has been in what they call production hell, where, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to put a movie together and there's so many ways it could go wrong. And
right.
so when something actually makes it to the screen, actually makes it to an audience, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people, so many moving parts. So at some point, this has always fallen apart. And supposedly, like, even when this was announced, Mattel is like, yeah, we're doubling down. We're still doing the Sony movie because it recently has come into question and some things are, you know, not going well in production.
Mm.
It was supposed to start filming in July and it hasn't yet. It hasn't started yet. And they cast this guy who is not even buff as He-Man.
Maybe that's why they haven't started yet, because he's trying to get buff.
Maybe. I mean, if you look at He-Man, he's got dark eyebrows and, of course, tan skin and
blonde hair.
Right. So it's like it could be bleach blonde. So this guy has dark hair and he looks like he might be Hispanic. So, and he's tan.
Well, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. He's really popular right now. So he's got the
charisma. Momoa? No, I'm kidding. No.
The charisma and everything. Like this guy's not even buff. So like He-Man is like Arnold, like OG Arnold Schwarzenegger buff. Like
he's body, huge.
He's bodybuilder buff.
Yeah.
And and that is one of his defining traits, right?
Yes.
So you can't just, okay, this is the new He-Man. He's not even buff. You can't do that. But if this guy were to get bodybuilder buff, and bleach his hair, he could look like He-Man. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, a transformation akin to
this
like
guy?
Chris Pratt. Yeah. Noah, what's the last name?
Centineo?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm looking up.
Yeah. So he could be like a Chris Pratt type transformation going on behind the scenes, and that's what they're working towards and revealing.
He's from To All the Boys I've Loved Before, The Perfect Date, The Fosters. That's where y'all are going to know him from, The Fosters, which was a show on ABC Family for, I think it's just ended last year, I think. He's got like a fat neck. Maybe that's why they want him to be He-Man. Like he doesn't separate. It's the same. Like his neck doesn't
his
go.
His neck and his head are the same width. Actually, if you do animation, you know that everybody's neck and their head are the same width.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like he embodies that. So if they're going for it, they might as well.
So let's see. I mean, look, I've got a lot of notes here that I need to pour over just because I got super excited. So I did a lot of research last night. So I got a little catch in my throat this morning. So he's hoping to give closure to the original series that it never got, Kevin Smith and his team. And he's got a pretty legit writing staff. Pretty legit.
And just to bring it full circle, he's doing the Netflix series that's the anime. He is not doing the movie.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for that clarification. He is. So Kevin Smith is going to be executive producer and showrunner.
I'm about it.
So he is very, very, very involved. And the guys that are behind this are like the He-Man nerds that are putting this together. Like, they're the ones that he announced it at PowerCon, which is some conference that's been going on for like not even like 6 to 8 years or something like that. This guy has been at PowerCon like every year since it existed, and worked with the guys with PowerCon and Mattel and Gottsmith involved.
Heard.
And but they're the guy, like, I mean, think of a property that used to be popular and a friend of yours that you know is super into it, and you're just like, oh God, I'm sick of hearing about this. That guy, imagine that guy becomes the executive producer and showrunner of that property.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that. So these are like He-Man fans, like OG He-Man fans. So Powerhouse, who's doing the animation, if you watch Castlevania, you know that it's slightly adult. It's not like overtly adult. It's not like super gross or raunchy or anything like that. But anime sometimes lean that direction.
Right.
But He-Man is typically family friendly. And Kevin Smith said that there won't be any raunchiness in He-Man, even though he's known for that type of humor.
He said Kevin Smith is not He-Man.
Right. Yeah. So He-Man, the show will be, it looks like it's going to be the OG family friendly He-Man that we are all familiar with. So, what was I trying to say? Powerhouse Animation is known for their fight choreography. So they told Kevin Smith and his writers, like, look, don't worry about writing fight scenes or action scenes. When you get to that point in the script, you write fighty fighty and we'll take care of that.
Fighty fighty.
Yeah. So Kevin Smith was like, literally, he said, we're getting to focus on the character arcs, the character interactions, and all the good, rich writer stuff, and not have to worry about all the things that we're not good at, like fight choreography, where you have to sit and like, okay, somebody hits first and, you know, Beast Man growls, like, and, you know, all right, that kind of thing, right?
Because, like, that's a different element to write something that's, like, supposed to be conveyed quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about, like, the non-raunchiness of it. Mm-hmm. Anime is known for busty gals.
Yeah.
Is She-Ra going to be bustier than she was? Because she wasn't, like, overtly sexual in the show.
Well, She-Ra is actually something different.
And, right, and but so she's a...
She's what, not actually in He-Man. Like, she is a
spinoff.
But
she's in Masters of the Universe. She's a princess of power.
Well, the Masters of the Universe is, like...
He-Man and...
Well, it is like the overarching universe is like what they refer to. But actually, I mean, if you get into the nerdiness of it, the Masters of the Universe are the bad guys, Skeletor and his crew. Because it's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
But she's in that world. Are they going to cover She-Ra at all?
Well, she's already got a Netflix series.
Right.
So it's possible that she may feature in it, but she won't be prominent in it because this is not her show.
But is it going to be the same She-Ra that they already have?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be connected to that or not.
Gotcha.
Because originally, She-Wa... She-Wa.
She-Wa.
She-Bang. She-Bang.
Thank you. Okay.
So, She-Ra was created because...
You did it again.
She-Ra was created because, like, something like 20 to 30% of He-Man fans were little girls.
Right.
And Mattel made Barbie, and so they were like, girls are not just into girly girl things. Let's make a action-oriented...
Similar action to G.I. Joe.
Right.
More girls bought G.I. Joe than boys did at the time.
I wouldn't say more, but a lot.
Well, anyway, yeah. Keep going.
So anyway, they decided to make something to cater to that little girl audience, right? Uh-huh. And that's where She-Ra came from. It was brighter, more colorful. When she powers up, her hair gets long. And
long and Rapunzel-like. It's golden.
And in the lore, originally, she is He-Man's sister.
Right.
She's Prince Adam's sister.
Right.
But in this new Netflix series...
Kevin Smith's or the one that She-Ra's?
The She-Ra series.
Okay.
I don't know that she... I think it might be different. I don't know that she's He-Man's sister in this one.
Okay. I'm going to have to do some research because
Because Maeve, our daughter, watches the crap out of the show.
She-Ra?
Yeah.
I've literally never seen her watch it.
Her and Riley watched the mess out of it. I think there's like 2 seasons now. I've seen them watching them. Yeah, they'll watch it. Like, they'll binge it. And they'll rewatch it. And it's not anime style either. It's more like a Steven Universe looking type thing.
Okay.
More cartoony looking.
Okay.
But it's also different because it's like the princesses of power. And
right.
It's not just She-Ra, Princess of Power, where she's the princess of the land. And like
she's got a group.
Yeah. So like the planet they live on is called Eternia.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, because I was under 10 years old, I was like 5 and 8 when this was popular, right? So I'm not 100% clear on the ins and outs and all the details, but from what it looked like when I was a kid was not just a different part of the planet, but like a different portal through a different dimension,
right,
or something,
like
right?
An alternate universe kind of thing.
And I remember when She-Ra came out and I was like, let's see what it's about. And I was excited for it because I was so into He-Man.
Yeah.
I was like, my little sister is like, oh, you get the She-Ra stuff.
Yeah.
And then we can play together, right?
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, cool. Because I got all this stuff. So I tried to get her into it and she just wasn't into it. But she did watch the cartoons and stuff. Just because I was 5 and she was like 3, you know.
So She-Ra's not necessarily going to be in this Kevin Smith Netflix.
Right.
So they're not going to necessarily have to broach the subject of over-sexualized anime women characters.
Well, there are some strong women characters, like the sorceress is like, she is the guardian of, she's the bird lady looking. She is the guardian of Castle Grayskull, where all the power rests. Like every time He-Man or even She-Ra raises her sword, their power derives from Grayskull, Castle Grayskull. And then by the power of Grayskull and the honor of Grayskull, I have the power and all that kind of stuff. So I just had to say that because.
Oh, I remember.
Right. So.
But her outfit.
Her outfit was like a leotard looking thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got Teela, who is one of He-Man's friends. And the thing about He-Man, it's like, it's almost like an Avenger style team. And they're a family. They're a close-knit group. And they've got Teela, who is Man-at-Arms' daughter, who is interested in Prince Adam, who doesn't know that he's He-Man. He's got this alternate,
right.
And his cat Cringer becomes Battle Cat. And but Skeletor is like the polar opposite evil version of He-Man. Looks
right.
So similar, skull face, all this stuff. So he's got Evil Lyn, who is like literally a paint, like the toy was like an alternate paint of Teela. Right?
Right. And at one point in time, that character dresses up as the sorceress to try and trick He-Man.
Are you talking about Evil Lyn?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't remember.
I feel like I remember that episode somehow. But anyway, so are they going to have, like, I mean, Kevin Smith is bragging about how family friendly it's going to be.
Well, I mean, even originally,
the line.
Yeah, even originally, like, I mean, their characters wore like this, you know, shortcut,
but that also was
thing.
Like the time. I mean, even
right.
Comics and other, I mean, you think about Wonder Woman, even she was a little sexualized, but you mm-hmm. think about,
I mean, oh yeah, even
Japanese
the creation of Wonder Woman is overtly
anime.
Sexual.
Right. Is super sexualized.
Yeah, but even, even Castlevania, it doesn't go there, as far
That's
as I remember.
That's what I'm asking. Like, are they going to deal with that, or is
yeah.
it just going to be like a, hey, this is not
I don't
your
think
normal
gonna,
anime?
I think they're going to skirt it. I don't think they're going to address that directly.
Because He-Man, they're not overly sexualized.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They're just people. And that is, like, the Mr. Rogers thing about it. Like,
right.
Every single episode had a moral core.
Right.
And that, like, I was watching, like, The Secret History of He-Man and all this stuff last night on YouTube. And like even going back, like my personal core is like everything should have a moral center. It's like
what
this
motivates
is like,
you to
exactly,
do that?
Like, just realizing my personal programming, how tied to this format it was. And like even the way I write, like everything has to have a lesson, and you know, so and even so in the 80s. the FCC loosened up its grip, because in the 70s, there was no violence in kids' shows allowed whatsoever. And which is why you got Scooby-Doo, who they're solving mysteries. There's no fighting, no nothing like that. But in the 80s, the beginning of the 80s, they decided to loosen up to try to stimulate the private sector, right? To let them kind of get
their juices. And He-Man ran from 83 to 85.
Right. Originally, yeah, there was only two seasons, but there were 65 episodes per season.
It ran all year long.
Yeah, and it was the first kids show to do that, and it was the first kids show to do like after like Saturday afternoon or not Saturday afternoon. Most cartoons were Saturday morning. This was the first after school cartoon thing. Like if you remember coming home from school and watching Rescue Rangers or DuckTales or any of that.
That like, started because of He-Man.
It started because of He-Man.
And its success, obviously.
Right. Let me get back down to my notes here. It ran 65 episodes. It actually ran regularly until 1990 as reruns.
I was born in 94. And I remember watching reruns.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bought by the USA Network, and they kind of ran it. I mean, they probably brought it back regularly, but it like ran straight until 1990.
That's crazy.
And they tried to kind of like update it and reboot it, because the reason that He-Man kind of went away is like it came in on the scene like huge, and of course there was
backlash issues.
There were some backlash issues because it was.
I mean, it's the first of its kind.
Right. Yeah, and it was violent.
Right.
Or it wasn't actually violent. People assumed it was violent because big, strong guys.
Well, I mean,
with
there
swords.
Were fight scenes.
Yeah, I mean, but they were really, really tame fight scenes. Like, I mean,
no blood.
Yeah,
no.
He'd throw people and like whoop. You know, you get the cartoon noises and stuff like that. And he'd punch people and like Adam West type stuff.
Right.
Which is funny because that Batman was actually considered an adult TV show. Yeah, so the FCC loosened its grip and He-Man was able to get away with some violence, and there was the backlash, some parents, oh, this is a violent show and our kids. But if anybody that ever watched He-Man knows that it's not violent, and it never was. And each episode had a moral core, and they'd even at the end of the episode, they'd go back and like say, just like G.I. Joe, like, so kids, you know, hey, this is why, and never do drugs and all that kind of stuff, right? Oh, so that the other thing that He-Man spawned was the first of its kind was TV shows that sold toys. Like directly sold toys, right?
Gotcha.
Because the He-Man TV show was created because they basically wanted to give a background to the characters.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so they created the toys, and each toy came with a little comic to explain who the character was and how they fit into the universe. But then they realized that most of the kids playing with the toys couldn't read, so they were like, okay, well, we need to do a kids show. And so they were just going to do like a couple episodes to kind of flesh out the story, and Filmation got a hold of it and saw the potential and was like, we're going all out with this, and wrote 65 episodes. Like, what season of anything do you know has 65 episodes, 65 half hour episodes?
Maybe House. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing, that's crazy. Yeah. And there was only two seasons of He-Man.
Right.
But you're looking at 65. I mean, how many, I mean, if you break that up to a 12 or even a 24 episode season, like that's still several seasons.
Right.
That's why it felt like it went on for a lot longer than it did. Plus, it was like every single day. Like, I remember I watched He-Man same time every day, like religiously, like clockwork. I remember like...
Because you couldn't record.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, so I remember like I went to my aunt's house. Hey, LaDonna. I went to her house one time, and she didn't have cable or whatever. She was like trying to play with the antenna and could barely get it in black and white. And I can hear it. I was so pissed off because it wasn't in color. And I was like, oh, I'm missing today's episode. You know, like, I don't know. That sticks out in my mind. Yeah. It was like every single day. And that was legit, because like only things like PBS, like Mr. Rogers and that type of thing was on every day.
Right.
Right. And this wasn't even like ABC or like right. a major network. So, first of its kind. But after that, G.I. Joe, all these other ones started building on that. And it got so out of hand to where, like, even when Transformers came in, Ninja Turtles came in, that's when He-Man saw its decline. Where mm-hmm. was like when everybody caught on and started using the same format, right? Mm-hmm. And toy sales went from like 400 million a year to 7 million a year, like within a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then they tried to make the movie to bolster the brand, but then the movie was so off brand that nobody liked it. And it was like, I mean, now it's a cult classic just because it's so weird. But yeah, so that's probably one reason why Kevin Smith is like, so, hey, this is going to be like the one you recognize, mm-hmm, not. Mm-hmm. And the movie, it was like Dolph Lundgren, Frank Langella, Skeletor. It was like, I think Skeletor was probably the best part of the movie.
But that's where also, you get all your memes for Skeletor.
Yeah, well, not the movie, but yeah, definitely Skeletor memes come from the show. Have you ever seen the movie Skeletor? It's like pretty crazy looking.
I don't know anymore.
Oh. So also a young Courtney Cox was the star of this movie.
What?
Yeah. And it was so weird because the movie actually revolved around her and her boyfriend, and He-Man was kind of like a add-on type. It was really weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't even in Eternia. Like, it was like the portal to Earth, and he was coming to save Earth from whatever, from Skeletor for some reason.
Gosh.
It was nuts.
Heard. I definitely remember this.
Yeah, it was so weird.
That was like a place in my mind I had forgotten.
Yeah, so from what I understand, like, I mean, the movie was so bad it almost bankrupted the studio. And they lost so much money. They even tried to... So when Transformers and all this stuff and the movie failed, they tried... 1990, they tried to reboot He-Man as like He-Man in space. And it only went one season and failed dramatically. But yeah, so it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm super excited.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked about your Master of the Universe, I want to talk about my Master of the Universe, Steve Carell. Coming back, or not coming back, he's been in the scene a little bit here and there. Welcome to Morrowind. Obviously, The Office is... super back in everybody's spectrum.
Sorry.
Right now.
Ghost tail is all up on the screen. Sorry. Come on.
Yeah, if you go to our website, you can see his bio.
Not yet. I don't have it up yet.
Oh, darn. Come on. Get it together.
Yeah. It'll be up soon.
What?
When we go live, I'll have a lot more time to do stuff like this. So if you want to support the show.
Ghost is obviously trapped in this in-between. He doesn't know how to get to where he's going.
He doesn't know how to back up.
He didn't know where he's going. He's like a shark. So Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon are all going to be in an Apple TV Plus series. I keep wanting to call it a movie, but it's a series. Yeah. It's a... Lord. That was like this little squiggly thing. What'd you call it earlier? Dramedy?
Yeah.
It's going to be a drama with a little bit of comedic relief because Steve Carell is just... the embodiment of Michael Scott.
Yeah.
So
when I saw the cast list when it was first announced, I thought it was going to be a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But from the teaser that came out, it looks pretty...
Yeah, so the trailer dropped this week. It's supposed to air with Apple Plus TV. Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
However they want to phrase it.
Them and
in September.
Disney are on the Plus train right now.
Right, yeah. All of these new streaming services. It's Apple Streaming... that we'll probably cover in another at another time and place.
Yeah, it seems like almost a direct competitor to Disney, even though like they're coming out together apparently. Like,
well, Apple TV Plus is coming out September, they were saying early fall,
right.
So like September. So it's got, like I said, Jennifer Aniston, who was Rachel Green in Friends, Nestor Carbonell. He played Richard Alpert in Lost. Steve Carell from he was Michael Scott in The Office. Scott's tats, obviously. Billy Crudup, who played Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some big names coming right along with it. Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston will be reuniting because in Friends, Reese Witherspoon played Rachel Green's younger sister.
Really? That's cool.
Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell played were in Bruce Almighty together.
Yeah.
Steve Carell played the Anchorman on there, if you didn't catch that.
That reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a double reference because of Anchorman and then Evan Almighty.
Yeah, because he's in... Steve Carell is in both. So it's going to be 10 episodes. It's coming out in the fall of this year. So coming up right on the edge of it. It's definitely going to be a don't miss.
Sorry, I'm trying to get Ghost's tail off the screen. hanging out there.
So to tell you just a little bit about what it is, I'm going to read you the plot thing on IMDb. But also, Decider put on their online article about it that it is... this is the quote. Apple's The Morning Show is taking the Matt Lauer scandal head on. So it's an inside look at the lives of the people who help America wake up in the morning, exploring the unique challenges faced by the men and women who carry out this daily televised ritual. So Jennifer Aniston is the star of this show. And even on the IMDb page, she's listed first. This series will follow her. Like I said, there's 10 episodes. They haven't put the names out for the episodes yet. On their IMDb page or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there's some pretty big name directors and producers along with this. Oh, wow. So the writers, they're not really listing the writers for each episode. Carrie Erin wrote one of the episodes, and then a consultant writer, which literally could mean anything. They could have changed the name of an episode. They could have even said, hey, you should have put a comma here. It literally could mean nothing. Yeah. Or it could mean that they completely rewrote the whole episode. You know, there's really no minimum, no maximum to what a consultant writer is. And
I know screenplays, to have your name listed as a writer, you have to have like a third of it.
Right. So it doesn't look like for this that there is a...
Yeah, teleplays are different.
Right. It's super, super different. It's Brian Stelter. But the directors, so there's... I'm going to butcher some of these names. It just comes with the territory. Mimi Leder, she directed 6 episodes. She directed The Leftovers.
Nice.
David Frankel, who directed The Devil Wears Prada, has directed 2 episodes of this, The Morning Show. And Lynn Shelton directed an episode of The Good Place. So got some big name directors coming along with it.
I can see like a brand forming here.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Kind of like this same vibe, mm-hmm, kind of thing that come with all of these. So it's supposed to be kind of the episodes that Mimi Leder has directed are going to be the more dramatic, suspenseful ones. She was a director for The Leftovers. So like,
right, yeah. I'm just saying maybe an episode try something different or whatever.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Because this seems like a pretty cool mix of, I mean, you've got people who flow very smoothly between comedy and drama.
Right, absolutely. And you've got actors who are so versatile. Mm-hmm. You can go from Steve Carell, who played Michael Scott, to Welcome to Marwen. You've got Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, just the trailer in itself, like, I mean, that's an intense scene. Beating the crap out of the TV.
Yeah, yeah. And then later on in the trailer, Jennifer Aniston's character asks him, who, by the way, is not named on the IMDb page. Her name is not on there. It's just Jennifer Aniston, but her character name isn't on there.
Hmm.
Jennifer Aniston later in the trailer comes up and is like, what happened to your TV? He's like, we got in an argument or something
disagreement.
Yeah, a disagreement. Yeah, so there's some comedic relief in there. But something that I want to note is that there are 10 episodes, but only 9 directors listed.
So somebody got another one.
So, Steve Carell, if you wanted to direct one of the last episodes, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, and maybe, well, I feel like they would have announced it, but maybe they're holding off as like one of their things to get people interested.
Especially like to see how it goes. That's something that you throw in after the 5th episode has streamed. Mm. So it can go one of 2 ways, right, with streaming. Like they can launch it all at the same time, like Stranger Things, mm-hmm, or it can be released every week type of thing.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, Netflix has the format where they
Drop it at once.
Yeah, they drop everything at once. But supposedly Disney Plus is going to go with the weekly format.
Exactly, like TV. So it's replacing cable, in a sense.
Right, yeah.
And so...
And Netflix is even looking at doing that with some of their shows to see how it works.
And this is an Apple original, so it is up in the air, Apple TV Plus. Not that I have seen has said if they're going to be a once a week drop in it or if it's going to be a drop it all at once kind of thing. So with this first trailer coming out, I would wait to see how much traction it built, wait to see what the first promos do, and then if Steve Carell directed the last episode, throw that in with the second trailer and be like, oh my gosh, did you even know that Steve Carell directed an episode? You know, if it wasn't picking up enough traction and things like that, that might be like a big bomb to drop, in a sense. And so I would be interested to see who the 10th director or who directed the 10th episode. Sorry, I got something in my eye all of a sudden. Whoa. I am dead inside.
So as far as like the battle of streaming or whatever, Disney Plus and Apple are obviously coming out in the same season. Was that ghost?
Yeah, it was like burping or something.
The dog's stomach made a noise. So Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus, both coming out fall 2019. Disney November, Apple looks like possibly September-ish.
That's what I was seeing.
So, I mean, that would be smart of them not to release so close to each other. I mean, when people release movies, they, you know, they avoid other things to compete with because you want a clear lane, right?
Right.
Disney, obviously, is showing their hand. I mean, it's like, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's where we're going. Boom, boom, boom. Got a lot of excitement built. Apple, on the other hand, this is only the third trailer they've dropped, or the third show, not the third trailer.
Oh, it does say November.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Definitely on this it said September, so I'll have to double-check some sources.
Yeah. So, I mean, Apple's kind of taken... Apple always comes from a place of confidence, usually. Like, they'll sit back and watch. They're kind of like the mastermind type personality where they'll sit back and they'll watch and they'll...
Look what they did with this. I have to get an adapter to plug in the headphones that they still sell me for this. And I can't charge my phone and listen to headphones at the same time. So, yeah, they're pretty confident in whatever the heck they put out because they really don't care. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you're going to pay thousands of dollars for this. It don't matter.
Yeah, so they don't really have to pay for a lot, put a lot out there, because once it drops, it's going to be on everybody's phones and you're going to be seeing it. I mean, they're going to be like, download the app. It's going to, I mean, they've already got the TV app on your phone.
I mean, think about all the data mining that they probably do anyway. They know what we want. They know we want more Steve Carell.
Yeah. Of course, the streaming, the Apple TV Plus, originally came out that it was going to be free for those who purchase an Apple device, but now it's going to be a subscription service on top of.
But they also haven't released the pricing for it either.
Yeah, exactly. And Disney Plus has already released the pricing. They've talked about packages, even worldwide packages, all this stuff. And Apple is just kind of keeping it close to the chest, and they're almost like just. Like Apple does, they let everybody go first and watch them stumble, watch what they fail at, and then they go and do it after they see what works.
Yeah.
And which it just strikes me as weird that they would want to come out the same time as a major competitor like Disney.
Right, but it also seems kind of hopeful to me that you've got big names like Steve Carell, Jennifer Aniston, all Reese Witherspoon, all these other people tying themselves to an Apple original when like Sandra Bullock did a Netflix original and everybody was like, what? And then 2 days later everyone in the world had seen it, you know, and like or not seen it. I mean, like, it just, I feel like, to me, that's like, like you said, Apple's just like, man, we're confident about this.
Yeah, they're all about the slow burn.
We got Jennifer Aniston. I don't know what you do in Disney Plus, but I know what we doing. So
yeah, Disney Plus is trying to get everybody to adopt from day one. They're like, look at this, look at this. Come on, come on, come on. Woo! And Apple's just like, we're here. You come to us.
Yeah. And which is what we will do because we are a flock.
We're a sheeple.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, it looks good. The other shows that they've dropped is For All Mankind. The premise is, what if the Russians got to the moon first, mm-hmm. and it basically galvanized the Americans to, oh crap, we're so behind, we got to get on board, and they're trying to catch up, and they really, really step up, and it's that story, what if type thing. And then the other one is Snoopy in Space.
Yeah.
So which actually looks pretty good.
They're also doing a kids series, the Helptics or something
They've announced quite a few.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's another one called C.
But they haven't dropped a lot of trailers. These are the trailers we've seen.
If you go to the Apple TV Plus YouTube site, which is new, they've got a YouTube page now, a channel. There's a teaser that kind of shows clips from all their stuff, but they don't have an all out teaser or trailer,
right?
Except for these three shows that I've done.
Which, when you think about it, they don't want to release all of their cards at once, mm-hmm. and so they probably haven't filmed a lot. That's a lot of big mm-hmm. budget things that you want to try and do at once, so that makes sense.
Right,
yeah, that's why they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, they've definitely got enough to make this little teaser. But I'm surprised that they haven't really stepped out. Maybe they're waiting for Disney to kind of back off, or maybe after D23 and let it die down and then really come out right before it launches or something.
Maybe so.
But yeah.
There's a lot going on. I think this show called The Morning Show is going to be a don't miss. It's going to touch on a lot of real world scandal, but it's also going to be just a good solid drama from Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon. I think it's just going to be all in a good watch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially if you're familiar with the whole Matt Lauer situation.
Right, which I really wasn't.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of got me hooked and was like, oh, I can see Jennifer Aniston is the Matt Lauer character of this,
mm-hmm.
where she's throwing people under the bus and making power moves and kind of a punk behind the scenes, but on camera, everybody loves her and that kind of thing.
And that's why I say, even if you don't know about the Matt Lauer stuff, it's going to still be a good series. But if you're really into the Matt Lauer scandal, mm-hmm. I think it's going to kind of tie in and give you some real world things to think about.
Yeah.
But it's going to just be a good show to watch too.
Yeah. Anything else on that?
Mm-mm.
So yeah, I definitely want to see it for sure. I'll be watching it with her if she don't watch it without me. she kind of does that with Steve Carell stuff. She can't wait.
I ain't even going to get into it. I'm having a good day. I ain't even going to get into it.
All right. So that's it for us. Once again, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, whether you're tuning in through YouTube or by podcast. And if you want to keep the conversation going or support the show, you can, of course, comment below. You can also find out information in the episode notes and or the website at www.broken.picturesno.com. And don't forget, you can leave us voice messages and or questions that we can play on the show. Go to www.anchor.fm/TheFOMO Show to talk to us, and you can also support the show from there. YouTube viewers, please like, and you can subscribe and hit the little bell icon.
Ding.
If you want notifications for when we put out new shows. Podcast listeners, please leave 5 stars in your podcast app. That'll help everybody find us and help us. Has helped spread us around. So if you want to support the show in a non-monetary way, that's something you can do, is just hit that like button. We really appreciate it. I've been Dylan.
I've been Lydia.
And we'll see you later. Peace.